The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian AM. I am your host, Hubert Edwards. And this morning, we're going to have a slightly different type of a conversation. We're going to look at one good news story, at least. I'm going to start with that. And then I have some questions. I have some issues I would like to raise about how we are generally going about national life, how we are generally going about having the discussions which are important and critical to the advancement of the country. If you want to join us, the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316, and our text line is 422-4796. So I want to start by extending congratulations to the young people who will be representing the Bahamas at the Optimus World Championship for sailing. And as I understand it, this is going to take place on June 27, or at least start on June 27 in Bodrum, Turkey. And the Bahamas is represented by 5 youth sailors. And so we want to wish them Godspeed. We want to wish them all the best, you know, stay healthy and bring home the bacon. But if you would permit me and forgive me, maybe to some extent, I am not aware of who the other persons are. But one of those sailors is young Mr. Craig Ferguson. I know Craig Ferguson, the actual sailor, and I know his father, who is also Craig Ferguson, because of my association with Toastmasters. And I've seen this young man when he was very much more of a young man, a boy, actually. But I've seen him grow and develop over the years, and he's now getting into his teenage years or strides. I'm not even sure how old he is. But you can see he's getting older. He's getting more mature. But he has always displayed this level of maturity and consciousness and a level of seriousness which was always beyond his years. And I think it is in large part to the exposure which has been afforded to him by his father, the associations. You know, I've heard him spoken in a Toastmaster Club, you know, excellent delivery. And so we just want to say to him that, you know, you stand as an example of what is possible for young people, young persons in this country. The father-son relationship, I think, stands out as an excellent benchmark of what is possible. When fathers, we just went past Father's Day, but when fathers, and more broadly speaking, when parents take the time to nurture and to stay close to their kids in whatsoever endeavor they desire, it's a lesson that I can learn from, that you can learn from, that we all can learn from. So the relationship is always helping to generate growth, helping to develop. And, you know, this young man has done well locally on the sailing scene. We are reminded that the first Olympic gold medal came to the Bahamas via 2 Bahamians. And so we want to encourage and we want to support. I want to also give a quick shout out to the Caribbean Bottling Company, where we saw Carla Wells Lagares have been part and parcel of the machinery supporting this particular young man, Craig Ferguson. And I always make the point that for me, the major factor in unleashing talent, in taking talent to the next level on a world stage, is the private sector. The private sector is where the funding is at. Of course, the government has a role to play. But certainly the extent to which private sector and private citizens step forward is always going to be a major determinant, a major catalyst in how far talent can go. Because at the end of the day, you can only be so good locally. You can only be so good without support. You can only be so good without being on a formal nutritional plan. You can only be so good without certain level of equipment with the new technology and so on and so forth. And all of those things demand funding. And so we are going to have him on one of our, on the radio show, on the radio show I do in the evening, The Essentials. And so we're going to wait until he returns. And certainly he'll be coming back with good news, because there's no luck, there's no potential, there's no possibility of losing when you step out to represent your country. So to you, Craig, and the rest of your teammates, I want to say well done for being selected, and want to congratulate you for being the young man you have demonstrated yourself to be. And so, you know, go out and represent the Bahamas to the fullest, and know that the country is behind you 100%. And when you're finished, then come back and tell us the story. Tell us about the experience. Tell us about the opportunity to travel to Turkey. Tell us about what is it that you would have learned and you will take away from this particular exploit. And so, all the best. And to the father, who I understand may be traveling with him, you know, all the best, Craig Sr., and we look forward to hearing from you. And so we wanted to start there, because I think that is indicative in some ways of the work that we have to do, the work that we have in terms of building a nation. It requires all of us. It requires the private sector to come together. It requires the parents and the children and the community and everyone to start to push in a particular direction in order for us to get to that place where the Bahamas can be better. And so you may be saying, well, the Bahamas is good. As the slogan goes, it's better in the Bahamas. But the question is, can we get better? How do we do that? And, you know, in the public space, we've been having a lot of discussion, a lot of debates, especially around the budget time, as is usual. But my concern is, has been, and I think might remain for a while, is the way we go about these conversations may not always be designed. I don't know if it's intended, wittingly or unwittingly, but it's not always designed to terminate into outputs which are going to serve the greater good. Just today, someone posted in a group a statement made by Martin Luther King, and I want to share this because I think it is important, it's instructive as to where we want to and where I want to have this quick conversation this morning. And it says, we're faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. This is no time for apathy or complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action. In this moment, we are faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. The things which are going to emerge tomorrow are going to be dependent on what we are doing today. And everyone has a role to play, whether you're in the private sector, you're as a private citizen, you're in government, and everyone is doing something. Even if you're not doing anything, if you're sitting on the side of the road, if you have your hand tied behind you, it's part of something. You are not contributing at the level that you should have. But understand that whatsoever action takes place within the currency of today is going to affect us tomorrow. And so I'm always a little bit concerned about how we kind of go about these conversations, how we argue, how we debate, how we discuss, and whether or not at times we are not really being too narrow in our own self-interest, in looking out for a narrow slice of persons or for just simply personal gain. In my radio show, which airs on Thursday evenings at 6:30, there is a jingle that comes on before. And I wrote that, and I also kind of coined it into a poem, if you will, and placed it in my book. And I'll read this for you. It has some other elements, but basically it says, there comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our heart, find our soul, and pursue our purpose. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. There comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials of life. That is basically what I took and twisted for my show. But what it is saying is, if you're not a part of the solution, you're really part and parcel of the problem. And where we are today, as a country, as a region, as a world, there's not much room to accommodate those who would be spectators. You have to be willing to make your way fully into the midst of the arena to confront the lions which we are faced on a daily basis. You have to start by removing the thinking of over me-ism and individuality. Because it says here, there comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. So all of us have some place we want to be. All of us have some place we want to go. All of us have some things we want to achieve and to do. But ultimately, in that process, we must understand and we must maintain a level of consciousness and active awareness on this, I believe, that what we are seeking to achieve, what we are reaching for, how we do it, when we do it, why we do it, have a fundamental impact, not just on self, but also on the collective. And as individuals, we have a responsibility to the collective, just as the collective has a responsibility or obligation for the well-being of the individual. So how are we doing these things? My further question is, and you know, in the twist that I put on this poem for the radio show, it says that there comes a time when we must find our purpose for the greater good of country, for humanity, for the greater good of country, for humanity. And some persons may be saying, you know, too idealistic, trying to think about everybody else. And there may be some truth to that in some instances, because at the end of the day, you know, we have to take care of ourselves first. We have to take care of ourselves first. We have to pour into self. We have to do the things which are going to be which are going to cause us to have resources and to be influential and to have the ability to give. But we also have to be constantly thinking about how we take care and provide for and facilitate for the others. That's kind of my concern, because I, as an individual who have had the opportunity and the privilege of speaking on radio and writing about some issues, sometimes I get feedback, I get discussion, I have interactions which suggest that, you know, maybe the way you see it is totally wrong. And it's not wrong because it's wrong in absolute terms. It's wrong because maybe you're trying to get too much at the truth. You're trying to get too much at the fundamentals. You're trying to get too much at what ought to be done. You're trying to sometimes highlight what is, and talking about what is don't necessarily serve our cause or our purpose in this moment. But I believe that approaches like those is really what costs us in the long run, because there always is going to be a price to pay. When we ignore the idea as promulgated by Martin Luther King, that we're faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We're faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. And when we get to tomorrow, today is yesterday. So I have another question that I wish to throw out is, how committed, and I'm not targeting any particular individual or group, and I'm making this as a broad statement just based on my observation and a little bit of a concern when I listen to the way the conversations are being conducted. How committed are we to the greater good of the country? With an emphasis there on the greater good, not just to the country, but to the greater good of the country. How committed? For example, when we listen to our intelligentsia, however you wish to define them, when you listen to the intelligentsia of the country, whether you want to believe that there's one or not, I think there exists one. There are some persons who are thought leaders, you know, whether they're saying things which are wrong or right, people listen to them. They are opinion leaders. They shape the conversation. They impact the psyche. But the question I have is our intelligentsia failing us? And I think this is a fundamental question, and it is as applicable for the Bahamas as it's applicable for the rest of the Caribbean region. We could go wider world, but today I'm not focused on those. As an individual who lives here in the Bahamas and who is from the Caribbean, the focus is there on the region. Is our intelligentsia failing us? Are we too committed? Are we too committed, or are we not sufficiently committed to having the hard conversation right there in the open, unvarnished, no niceties? Yes, with sensitivities, yes, but no niceties, because the truth of the matter is, when we fail to have sometimes unvarnished conversations, they're tantamount to being deceptive. When we kind of spin the truth, when we flip the issues, when we try to have them in such a way where I do not believe that they have the potential to unearth the best of us, when the conversations are properly framed, the issues are clearly outlined, but they result in deflection, We're always deflecting from something to something. When we have conversations where rather than sit in a space with an open mind, yes, we all go to these conversations with our biases. Everybody does, I do. But rather than sit in that space with a view of learning more or understanding a broader perspective, we go into these things with the idea that I must be right and I will seek to be right or at least project myself to be right at all costs. Which then creates a limitation because it stifles the collective genius. It stifles the opportunity for open conversation. It stifles the opportunity for refining ideas. It stifles the opportunity for broadening the discussion. And of course, it reduces the desire to continue, to have more, to expand that said conversation. So is our intelligentsia failing us? Are we at a place and a time where we have to be mindful about not being overly dogmatic, not chasing narrow dogmas, which are inconsistent, incongruent with the desire for a greater nation, a better nation, and the greater good of the country? Are we at a place where we now need to start to re-examine us in a very objective light and ask ourselves the question, you know, what does our tomorrow look like if the behaviors of today continue as they are? And I do understand and appreciate when you speak like that and you generalize, there's always going to be space for questioning and debate. And I understand that I am generalizing here to a large extent. But the point being made is, in my experience, in my observation, there are too many instances where seemingly it's just about me. It's just about I. It's just about the small we. The narrow we. It's too much about me being better rather than us being empowered. It's too much about me getting more rather than how do we facilitate the individual who is in the greatest need for. And so how do we respond to this idea of the urgency of now? How do we respond to the thinking of the urgency of now? We have to start to reflect of how we define success for self and success for country. We have to reflect on how we broaden our perspectives when we look at these things. And maybe it is that I have it totally wrong. Maybe it is that the persons who do it for their own personal and selfish reasons are the ones who are right. Maybe. It could be. But I believe, honestly, in my heart of heart, that there's a different way. That there has to be a better way. That there has to be a broader way. Because I believe, ultimately, it's the broader approach which are going to solve the fundamental issues of this country, of this region, which are going to solve the fundamental issues of citizens and residents and individuals who have a desire for more, individuals who have a demand and a need to be better facilitated. I believe that. And so we want to ask the question, how are we dreaming about a tomorrow? What type of a tomorrow are we dreaming? So we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to have continue the conversation, continue the dialogue, continue the monologue. Feel free to chime in 323-622-32, 325-4259, 325-4316. See you on the other side of the break. Don't move.
Water and Sewage Corporation advises customers residing in the areas of Blue Hill Road North, East Street, Palmdale, Shirley Street, Kemp Road, Village Road, Bay and West Bay Streets, that the corporation will commence disconnection of water supply on Monday, June 20th, 2022 in the mentioned areas. To avoid disconnection of the water supply, customers whose accounts are in arrears or who have not honored their financial agreements are advised that their accounts are brought up to date or risk the disconnection of their water supply without further notice.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
For the best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Balu's. Pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South. Call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
And welcome back to Guardian AM. Certainly a pleasure to be here, having this conversation, having this monologue, if you will, on the how do we really embrace the urgency of now? How do we really think, rethink about how we move this country forward? And I got a text which admonishes me, and I fully apologize that I need to acknowledge in the case of Craig Ferguson, the young sailor, we have to acknowledge his mom, Charnette Ferguson, who is also a Toastmaster. The person said, a wonderful woman, amazing wife and mother. She's very dedicated to Toastmaster service. Era governor a couple of years ago, and she is in Club 7178. But most importantly, mother of young Craig Ferguson, Junior. And so we want to celebrate you. This sometimes are the mistakes we make, and we kind of lean to the part that we know. But thank you so much, Texter, for helping me to correct that situation. I understand that we have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. You're on Guardian AM.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. You know, you two words you speak of, right? It's one is the collective, right? And mm-hmm. The other is purpose.
The other one is what?
Purpose. One purpose, right?
Yes.
So my question to you, you know, man, you know, what, you know, how could there be a the good of a collective? You know, is that a collective of a particular class, or you know, and then a purpose? How could one? Or let's say it's the collective is the nation. You know, with all the classes, you know, the social well-being of the nation, and then when you talk about one's purpose, that means one's purpose must be a good a purpose that serves, you know, the public good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in this country, right? You also talk about the intelligentsia. Right, I see that as another way of saying civil society. You know, and civil society is not concerned about the public good. They are not concerned about. They're concerned about their ambition, private of their private interest. You see, civil the intelligentsia in this nation to me is corrupt. You know, they are corrupt. They're intelligent, but have no integrity. You see,
okay.
In this time, it's just. You see, people like Martin Luther King, right?
Mm-hmm.
These people had integrity, you know. And in this Bahamas, our Martin Luther King is Robert Joseph Love. And you as a Jamaican, you know, I mean, you know more about Robert Joseph Love than Bahamians do. You know what I'm saying? And that's sad. Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for your contribution.
You know, one more thing. You see, the reason why they run away from Robert Joseph Love is that, you know, his view on Pan-Africanism and it doesn't fit the narrative of our leaders of our civil Bahamas, who is about the private good. There's never any, you know, there's never great to our public good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your contribution, Robert Joseph Love. Doctor is a great man, a great Pan-Africanist, an individual whose ideas were poured into Marcus Mazayagavi, who then became one of the world's best-known Pan-Africanists at the time. He provides, as the caller indicated, he provides a very great example of what can be done, not just for where you are, but, you know, for taking a wider view of the region. I understand, you know, he left the Bahamas, he went to the States, he became a doctor, spent some time down in Haiti, and eventually spent the rest of his life in Jamaica. So, you know, a great example from right here in the Bahamas, and what we speak about, how do we do things which are going to move us forward? Pan-Africanism at the time was really centrally focused on moving the greater good forward. Let's take a couple of clips. I have the first one. It's a couple from my book of poetry. They don't sound all humanist because it's kind of computerized voice. But, you know, let's hear this because I think there's a point to be made from these words. Let's take the first clip.
Who am I such that I have to ask who I am? Who am I to contemplate who I am? Who am I to think I can be that which I desire to be? Who am I to witness within? Seeds of possibilities, the fruitage of generations past and the potential. Offspring, some yet unborn? Who am I to think that the world may wish to hear my voice? Who am I to think my chosen purpose can change the lives of millions? And the universe whispers, you are greatness made in the image of the infinite. Uniquely designed to deliver that which I have implanted in you. Who am I? I am greatness. I am me.
Who am I to think that my purpose can change the lives of millions? That's one of the lines which I want you to underline from that. Who am I to believe that my purpose can change the lives of millions? I am a believer. I'm a fervent believer that what we do has to, at some point in time, start to focus outwards. Once you start to create some momentum in your own life, you're going to be generally good. But the question is your focus, is your purpose focused on helping others to be better? And we often, I believe, don't realize how much we take away from that by not having full, honest conversation, by choosing to deflect, by coming to these conversations with hardwired biases that we're unwilling to change, because ultimately they flow into the psyche of the country. And while you're not everywhere and can't be everywhere, and I certainly don't know every single conversation, sometimes you hear themes repeated in multiple places and from multiple sources that you start to understand that the energy at least of the ones that are pivoted, flows elsewhere. And so our thinking as a collective, as a country, I think requires some reflection. So how are we going to view our tomorrows? Because we have to look at it through the lens of today. So who am I to believe that what I say and my purpose can change the lives of millions. You have to believe that you have within you significant power to do that. Let's take the second one.
My choices got me here. My choices, preceded by my thoughts, concretized by my action. Where I am now is where I have chosen to be, either actively or by omission. Where I go will be driven by the same formula. The quality of the destination, influenced by the quality of the choices. I am my thoughts. I am my choice.
I am my thoughts. I am my choice. The quality of the destination that we are pursuing as a collective is going to be determined by what we think, how we think, what we do, what we're doing in this moment. That should create a consciousness. It should create an awareness, which causes us to reflect on the things that we do every single moment. Because we're always doing something. We're always saying something. We're always discussing. We're always arguing. We are always planning, strategizing. But in many instances, the output of those moments come as a result of us being very much wedded to who we are and the way we are. And not much you can do about it in this moment. You can do something about it in the next moment by thinking right now, is this in the best interest of us all? Will this serve the greater good? Will this serve the wider public? Will this help the young man who is now sitting in Kemp Road or in Bain Town or someplace out east or someplace out west who have a desire to become better but lacks the facilitation? Are the things that we are doing and strategizing and thinking about, are we helping or are we hurting? And oftentimes we think about that as an individual or as a group, which is not government. Our actions and the things that we say and do really have no major effect because it is government who cause things to happen and make things happen. The truth is that is not so, because these are oftentimes coming from places of great influence and others are looking on. They are either being encouraged or discouraged. They are either seeing something which is positive to emulate, or they are emulating something which is not. And sooner or later, that then concretizes into a cultural stance, something which better reflects the collective thinking. So how do we change it? How do we get to the place where we are now focused and we are conscious and we are more careful about the national conversation so that we are advancing them? We're actually not living in a loop where we are consistently, you know, going around this vortex of having the same conversation year after year, decade after decade, without any advancement and any positive outcomes. How do we change it? How do we ensure that as we move, we are protecting the national well-being? We're advancing the national well-being, however we choose to define that. And obviously, we want to define that in a way which is equitable, in a way which is empowering, in a way which is going to cause as many as who would be willing to play their part, to be in a space where they can grow and develop and become better. And consequently, the community grows and become better, and the country grows and becomes better. Are we committed, or are we in the space, on the track where are moving our discussions. We are moving our planning. We are having them in ways which is going to cause the lot of the common man, however you want to define that person or persons, the common man. So we can cause the lot of the common man to be better, to improve. For him to be able to shackle himself to more than a sliver of hope, an ever-expanding sphere of hope, that things are going to be better for him. And this is not about giving, because there's obviously a responsibility, a personal responsibility, a part to be played by the individual. But a fish, provided with the best fishbowl, without water, will never swim. Cannot swim. In fact, will die. And I use that metaphorically to kind of point to where we ought to be looking and how we ought to be looking about ourselves. Because if at the end of the day, we're not having the conversation, we're not doing the things and having the output which are positive and which are going to be beneficial, then in fact, we're kind of asking ourselves to swim around in an empty fishbowl. And eventually, some of us are going to be hurt. Not at all at the same time, but generally speaking. I have another clip. I want to take this one, and it focuses on, you know, what do we do? How do we dream? How do we look forward to a different place? What is it that we should be doing? Because as an individual, as the individual, we now need to put ourselves in a space where we start think about life, where we start to think about national, to think about our collective existence in a totally different way. So while we dream, the question is, how do we dream? Let's take clip number 3.
When you dream, dream boldly, with a mind limited by nothing but your imagination and your ability to think. Dream of a better day, a better you, a better world, a better us. Let the creativity of your mind conjure up a brand new world where you at your best. A world where your achievements are significant and impactful. A world where you stamp your essence on the consciousness of your fellow man. A world in which you are at your best. When you dream, dream purposefully and write it down in words. Say the names. Carve out the places you need to be, make indelible the plan and strategies you will employ. With the power of your pen, alchemize your circumstances, make hold of your disasters. Turn the leaden millstone upon your head into a badge of honor, a stonehouse of values, a memento of the burden you must bear not just for self, but so others can escape its ravages. When you dream, dream courageously. Lay waste the moment of your timidity. Put to submission the weakness of your soul. Be not afraid to dream yourself into a new being, one who will stand at the precipice of the furnace in service of his own humble and righteous desires. One who will take the plunge to rescue the dithering soul of another. One who stand firm in the face of oppression, carving into the granites of time his example of when he was afraid but stood his ground.
When you dream, are you dreaming about being impactful, or are you dreaming about just being better for yourself? Are you dreaming about helping the other individual who does not yet know the way, to find a way, to see the way, to be better? Being courageous, being willing to buck the status quo, being willing to step aside from being in the group which is right and popular, being willing to sacrifice some of yourself, some of your resources, some of your time so that others do. So why am I lamenting these things today? Because I believe that the Bahamas and the wider we are at an interesting crossroads. The Bahamas, for example, is facing some significant economic issues. And whether or not you want to believe it to be so, I think it's there. How we get out of it is not a function of the whether we're there or not. We have to admit that. We have to come to grips with it. And I know often the conversations are held in competitive terms across groups, across different philosophies and different ideologies. But ultimately and fundamentally, what I am proposing here is we start to have those conversations in such a way that they are closer to a unified position, a unification of ideas, a unification of because ultimately, it's not individual parts which is going to make the Bahamas or put the Bahamas at its greatest. It's going to be a function of the collective. And this holds true for any country, any place. Yes, there are other protests, some persons, some groupings which are going to do more of the heavy lifting, going to be more out front. But ultimately, it's the role of the collective which is going to be at play. Let's take the last clip, Mr. Producer.
Dream yourself into a new magnificently courageous being with the power and intent to change the future for self, for others. When you dream, be not afraid of the sand of time. Dream with unrestricted vigor, dream with infinite horizons. Dream knowing that you have the power to burn your existence into the unending pages of time, to unleash the seed of your mind, seed which find fertile ground in another time, forever changing what was and creating an immeasurable platform on which possibilities are built, nurtured, and released for the good of humanity. When you dream, dream with your eyes wide open. Stay in an awareness of the powerful source that you are. Dream from the mountains of your pain and failure. Cast your vision into the valley of the despair of those limited in vision, seemingly arrested by circumstances, but only in their mind. Dream boldly, purposely, courageously. Dream. When you do, always dream for me and you. Dream for us.
When you dream, always dream for you and me. Dream for us. I think that's an important aspect of the conversation today. An important element that I want to underline as session this show to a conclusion. I want to be in a space where I'm greater convinced that we're dreaming for us. And the extent of that us is going to differ depending on what the issue is and what the focus is. But ultimately, there has to be a coming together. There has to be a unification. There have to be a mechanism which convinces more that there's a dreaming for us. And so those of us who find ourselves in a privileged position, who have the power of speaking, the facility of radio, the facility of media, my admonition to you this morning is stop, reflect. Take a moment and contemplate how your own drive, all your own push, all your own commitment to your personal cause can be expanded, can be broadened, can get to the place where others are going to become the focus and are going to be more beneficial for the greater good. And if we do that, I think we're going to be that much better in the long run. We're going to leave it there. And so all that is left to say is have a great day. Be careful out there. COVID is still alive. Be blessed. Walk good. One love and Ubuntu.